Are you listening?
When you find yourself in danger, when you're threatened by a stranger, when it looks like you will take a licking, there is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call
OTR Rob.
And now here is your guide to these adventures of the mind.
There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call
OTR Rob.
And now here is OTR Rob.
Hey everyone, this is OTR Rob welcoming you to Richard Diamond, Private Detective, and Rocky Jordan and Boston Blackie. First, let me say that Richard Diamond, Private Detective, is from September 27th, 1950. The episode is entitled The Hatpin Murders. And then Rocky Jordan from October 23rd, 1949. And the D.U. Wright Bull, and Boston Blackie from February 19th, 1946, the Benson murder case. Enjoy all these, and I'll see you all back here next week. God willing, the creeks don't rise.
Wisely. Buy for flavor. Buy Del Monte. Del Monte, the brand you trust for flavor in so many good foods. Time now for Rocky Jordan, brought to you by Del Monte Foods, the brand preferred by more women than any other line of canned fruits and vegetables in the world. Not far from the Mosque Sultan Hassan in Cairo stands the Café Tambourine, run by Rocky Jordan. The Café Tambourine, crowded with forgotten men, alive with the babble of many languages. For this is Cairo, where modern adventure and intrigue unfold against the backdrop of antiquity. Del Monte presents Rocky Jordan and this week's story, The Diorite Bowl.
I had just opened up the tambourine that morning and was back in the kitchen glancing over the menu for the day. Chris, my bartender, came in, nodded toward the front, and said somebody wanted to see me. So I went out through the cafe, and there at the door, peering nervously in from the street, stood a skinny little girl, 12 or 13 maybe, dressed in the robes of the fellaheen. A small vessel was clutched in her hands, and what I noticed most was the strange look of anxiety and fear on her soft, round face. The same fear sounded in her voice.
Kind Defender Jordan.
That's me, little lady. What can I do for you?
My father sends his humble regrets that he could not come today.
Your father?
El Mahmoud, he who brings the honey.
Oh, El Mahmoud, of course. Well, he's told me all about you.
I am the daughter, Sharon. If you will take the honey.
Sure. Come in, Sharon. Come in.
No, I cannot enter. I will go now.
Wait a minute, Sharon. You got some money coming, remember?
Oh, the money, yes. If you would get it quickly, sir.
She waited there as I set the vessel of honey on a shelf behind the bar, then went to the till for some cash. El Mahmoud had been making his deliveries to my tambourine regularly for a long time. I needed honey for one of my mixed drinks, and the fine product from his apiary seemed especially good. Or maybe it's just that I liked El Mahmoud. I was surprised that he hadn't shown up himself, and the actions of his daughter had me wondering. There you are, Sharon.
The shock here, Effendi Jordan.
Why didn't your father come in this morning?
My father remains at the farm.
I was sort of hoping to see him. We always had coffee together. Is everything all right with him?
Please, Effendi, if you would permit me to depart.
Of course, Sharon. Come on, run along. Give El Mahmoud my regards. She was quickly running away, and I was sure now her worry was connected some way with her father. As I stood watching, I saw a short, plump man in continental dress appear out of a doorway. The greedy eyes in his pudgy face shifted my way for a second, then he drifted after Sharon. I kept thinking about it as I finished up the tambourine and finally decided to find out from her father what it was all about. I drove across Cairo, south along the river and into the hills that fringed the desert. Soon I pulled into El Mahmoud's little farm, past the pigeon roost, the gate, and onto the house. Down the hill beyond were his well-kept apiaries swarming with bees fed on clover fields from the Nile below. Nobody was outside the house, so I knocked and waited.
Who is this?
It's Rocky, old mama. Mind if I come in?
Oh, yes, Pendy Jordan. Welcome to my humble home.
Thank you. Is your daughter here?
She has retired to the other room. But why would you ask of her?
Just a little worried, El Mamad. Is something wrong?
Wrong?
Sharon was frightened when she came to my cafe. When I asked about you, she wouldn't answer. She ran away crying.
Please, please, do not be concerned. She is but a sensitive child.
Oh, there's something else, El Mamad. A short, pudgy man trailed her away from the cafe. Now look, maybe it's none of my affair, but if you're in trouble, I'd like to help.
Effendi, I deeply respect your most gracious friendship, but what transpires is not for you.
The man following wasn't one of your people.
I beg you, concern yourself no more.
Who was he? What do you want? Why are you locking yourself up in this house? All right. Yeah, I'd better drop it.
Oh, wait. Forgive my poor hospitality. I will have Sharon prepare the coffee. We will drink together.
Huh? Do you think you better answer that? Maybe I'd better.
No, I will answer.
He moved hesitantly to the door, slid back the latch, turned the knob, and cracked it just a little. And all at once, the door slammed open wide. Propelled by the heel of a hulking Turk who strode heavily in. He had thick, sneering lips and a long, pointed black mustache. His huge hand held a small gun.
I have come, El Mamad.
I pray you go from my house.
What's this about, mister?
Who is the American?
His name is Jordan. He has no part in it.
He will most wisely keep it so. Now, where is it?
I cannot tell you.
You know of what I speak? The bowl. Get it quickly.
Please, if you would but go away and return at another time, then I will be ready to...
What is this you say? Did you not make the agreement?
It is as you say. However, I need must have more time to think. But a little more time.
There is no more time. Give it to me. No!
But I cannot...
Then I will take it in my own way. Perhaps it is on the shelf. No!
I swear it is not here. Please, I beg you.
So. Soon I will see...
Oh, Mama, what's this all about? What's he looking for?
Effendi Jordan, I cannot tell. I cannot tell.
Enough! Oh, well, Mama. You choose to make it difficult. Very well, I will return. Very soon, for the last time.
What does that mean?
You, Jordan, will come with me back into Cairo. I do not wish you here. I do not wish you here. At all!
I don't argue with a gun, so when he waved it toward the door, I went out with the Turk right behind me. He got in the car beside me, and he didn't say any more as we drove back into the city. As we honked our way through a crowded street not far from the tambourine, he was suddenly out of the car and gone. In another 5 minutes, I was back again in the tambourine and headed for the phone. Just before I got to my office, a man seated at a back table spoke to me.
A moment, Mr. Jordan.
He wore the fez of the upper-class Egyptian, and I decided not to pass him up.
It is most important, Mr. Jordan.
Could it wait for a while?
I am afraid not. I am Kasha Bey of the Egyptian government. Ministry of Antiquities, Mr. Jordan.
Oh, I see. What can I do for you?
Please sit down. I will explain as quickly as possible. Now, Mr. Jordan, is it possible that you have ever heard of the Diorite Bowl?
Doesn't mean anything to me.
A most wonderful relic of ancient Egypt. Fourth dynasty, almost 5,000 years old. Small, but of great value in its proper place.
Well, that's very interesting, but how does that concern me?
Please, I will continue. There is such a bowl now in the Egyptian Museum, but we have a strong reason to believe that there is still another. Equally as valuable, it was unearthed recently, quite by chance, by one of the fellaheen while tilling his soil.
No, I follow. Go on.
It is the law that all such relics, when found, be turned over immediately to the Ministry of Antiquities, for which the finder is paid a fair price. However, there are, shall we say, temptations which sometimes lead the finder to withhold the relic and sell it on the black market for a much higher price, you see.
Well, let's get back to the Diorite Bowl.
Mr. Jordan... Such is the case with the finder of the new Diorite Bowl. It came to our attention only recently when he moved to sell it on the black market.
What's his name?
El Mamad, a good friend of yours, I believe.
I thought so.
Why come to me, Kashyap Bey? You must know where he lives.
Oh, why indeed, Mr. Jordan? If we asked, would he not deny? Then in his fear, might he not dispose of it quickly and perhaps even destroy it? At all costs, we must preserve his rare antique.
Well, that makes sense. What about the police?
We prefer that they remain out of it until the boat is quite safe with us. Otherwise, the consequences might be serious.
And what am I, the go-between?
Correct, Mr. Jordan. As an intermediary, you are a most wise choice. Please assure El Mama that we have no desire to prosecute. The Ministry of Antiquities wants only the Deerite Bowl, and at once.
How do I convince him?
That should be easy. We are still willing to pay a nominal fee, £1,000, which I leave with you in this envelope, Mr. Jordan.
Now, wait a minute, Kashyap. I haven't agreed to all this yet.
Oh, for a friend, Mr. Jordan, please think it over. Once you have purchased the bowl from El Mamad, you will bring it to me at Talbot House. Until then, Mr. Jordan, I bid you goodbye.
Kashyap Bey turned and walked out without a second look at the bulky envelope he had laid on the table in front of me. I picked it up, put it in my pocket, went into my office, and finally put my call through to Captain Sam Sabaya. But by the time he answered, I wasn't sure what I wanted.
Cairo Police, Sabaya speaking.
Oh, hello, Sam. It's Rocky.
Oh, Rocky. What is on your mind?
I'm wondering if you have much contact with the Ministry of Antiquities.
Naturally, Jordan. In a nation such as Egypt, it is the most important branch of the government. We work very closely with them.
Mm-hmm. Any trouble with a black market in antiques?
Most assuredly. We are doing everything we can to control it, but a most ticklish business, I might add.
Now, why?
You must realize that antiquities are of intangible value and must be preserved at all costs. The police take a hand only when other efforts have failed.
Who's Kashyap Bey at the ministry?
Jordan, there are a great number of employees at the ministry. Do you expect me to know all their names? Tell me, why do you ask?
You ever hear of the Deerite Bowl, sir?
The There is such a relic in the museum.
Yeah, but another one, about to get on the black market, maybe.
Jordan, it is time now that you explain the purpose of your questioning. And at once.
Oh, just working a crossword puzzle, Sam. Thanks. Well, so far, Kashyap Bey's story checked. And the place to get the rest of it was from El Mamad himself, out at his apiary. So I kept the money in my pocket and went out the back door to go for my car. All at once, I wasn't alone.
To the wall, Jordan. Quick.
The point of his heavy knife at my throat meant business, and I backed up like he said. He was the pudgy, shifty-eyed character I'd seen earlier that morning following Sharon. He was wearing elevator shoes now, but it didn't help.
We meet at last, Jordan.
Watch out, you'll cut yourself.
Or you. Silence now. I get what I want.
Even if it takes following little native girls?
You'll keep your hands back while I search. I warn you, this knife...
Why didn't you send the Turk around? He gets rough, too.
The Turk, I do not know.
I got news for you. He didn't find anything.
But I find something, do I not? An envelope filled with Egyptian pounds. You will need this no more.
Look, whatever your name is.
I thought with this you were going to the home of El Mamad to get the bowl.
Oh, was it?
I do not like it.
Tell me some more.
I do not like you, Jordan. I tell you to keep out of this. I tell you to return to your cafe.
And you keep the money.
I do. I keep the money and give you warning, Jordan.
I grabbed for his knife hand and he darted back, the knife clattering to the ground behind him. He whirled and picked it up by the blade, and as I dived in, he swung. The handle glanced off my head the first time, the next time squarely across the face. My knees hit the dirt and he spun again. Then I clawed at the cobwebs, waiting for the knife, but the blackness got there first.
Del Monte Foods is presenting tonight's adventure with Rocky Jordan. Pass the ketchup, please. That sounds familiar, but it means so much more when you say,
pass the Del Monte ketchup, please.
Yes, it means so much more, because Del Monte ketchup does so much. Adds so much zesty, hearty flavor to the foods everybody likes.
That's because Del Monte ketchup is made with pineapple vinegar.
Pineapple vinegar. Yes, pineapple vinegar. The big secret of Del Monte catsup flavor. Pineapple vinegar is one of the big reasons Del Monte catsup is livelier and more satisfying. Catsup experts say the finer the vinegar, the better the catsup flavor. And pineapple vinegar is superlative vinegar. It has a special way of bringing out every bit of tomato flavor in catsup. It blends perfectly with the special herbs and spices to make the liveliest catsup that ever pleased a man. Yes, pineapple vinegar is the big flavor secret in Del Monte catsup.
For real spice tomato goodness, I wouldn't be without Del Monte catsup. It really makes plain food come to life.
And for all its goodness, Del Monte catsup costs less than many other quality brands.
Try Del Monte catsup. You'll like it.
And now we take you back to Cairo and tonight's Rocky Jordan story, The Diorite Bowl.
When things began to clear, I was still lying in the alley. My first thought was for the 1,000 pounds Cachafay had given me. As I reached for my inside pocket, I remembered it was gone. So was the pudgy man with a knife. It was somebody else bending over me.
Effendi Jordan.
Sharon, how did you get here?
My father and I came most urgently to see you.
Well, it's about time. Where is he?
What's your face, Effendi? You have been hurt.
Get your father, Sharon.
My father? It is the Jordan Bey. Come quickly. He has been waiting in the street.
Oh, my good Effendi Jordan, what have they done to me?
Forget about me, El Mama. I want to know some things about a diorite bowl.
Then you have already learned.
That's right. You're in trouble, El Mama.
I know. That is why my daughter and I decided to come and accept your offer of help. What I would tell you brings me only shame.
Now go on.
Some time ago, I unearthed in my fields the bowl of which you speak. I was aware at once of its priceless value and hid it away.
Didn't you know the law says you turn such relics over to the authorities? They'll pay.
I knew, my Effendi, I knew. But I am a most poor man. I knew that I could sell elsewhere for a much greater sum. Finally, after much hesitation, I approached a certain man in Cairo and arranged for the sale.
A short, pudgy man, continental dress?
As you say. His name is Varios. I agreed to deliver the bowl at the time of payment. But then I began to realize my wrong and sent word to Varios that I had changed my mind.
Only you changed it too late. Varios sent the Turk out to convince you.
But even before that, I had received most violent threats. But I was sealed to my bargain. You can understand my fear. I knew not what to do.
I can tell you that, El Mamad.
You will help me then, my Effendi?
It's simple. Turn over your diorite bowl to the government right away.
It is my wish. But Jordan Bey,
they won't prosecute. I have their promise.
Then you have talked with him about this.
Kasha Bey of the Ministry of Antiquities came to see me about it. He's waiting for an answer.
Then you may tell him that I am ready.
Just one thing, El Mamad. The money Kasha Bey gave me to pay is gone. Varios took it from me.
So, the will of Allah. It is just punishment for my great wrong.
I took El Mamad and his daughter Sharon up to my room over the tambourine and told them to wait there. My only job now was to get Kasha Bey and bring them together. I picked up the phone, then changed my mind and decided to go get him just in case. Just as I got out the door to the street, a black limousine pulled up and a familiar figure stepped to the curb.
Jordan?
Oh, hello, Sam. I was just leaving.
Get a moment. I've come for a word with you.
Sure, what about?
I think you very well know. Not more than an hour ago, you phoned me regarding a relic known as the Diorite Bowl. One not now in the hand of the government. When I questioned your interest, I got nothing.
I told you, Sam.
What you said was only evasion. Such as I have come to expect of you, Jordan. Now listen to me. There is something going on, and I intend to know what it is.
Don't let me stop you.
So, still you will tell me nothing. It would, of course, be futile at this point to warn you away from what does not concern you.
Then we're both wasting time, aren't we?
Yeah.
Sam got back into his car and drove away, and I headed for the Talbot House. I wasn't more than 2 blocks on my way when I noticed Varios, the guy who had cuffed me around in the alley, following behind. I decided to shake him. It took only a few blocks, and I reached the Talbot House. I told Kasha Bey El Mamad was waiting. Right away, he came with me back to the tambourine. They all sat down in my office, and Kasha Bey was all business.
El Mamad, Mr. Jordan tells me that you are ready to turn over to us the diorite bowl.
I trust in Jordan Bey's counsel, Kasha Bey.
I still say you'd better do it, El Mamad.
As you advise, Effendi.
We hold to our promise not to prosecute. Once the bowl is in the hands of the ministry, neither you nor we need ever speak of this again.
Well, Mamad knows the money's gone.
Most regrettable, but it cannot be helped now. Unless we call on the police and tell
them... No, no, I beg you, for the sake of my daughter and I, let us have this done quickly.
Very well. Where is the bowl?
I hid it well, where none would suspect.
My father speaks truly, Kashyapu.
Where is it?
The diorite bowl is in one of the hives of my apiary. In this hive, there are no bees, but the bowl is there and safe.
And how does one know which hive?
It is marked with paint, a cross of yellow.
You are telling the truth this time.
Before Allah, it is so.
Sir, come in.
Now, wait a minute. Who's out there in the cafe?
You may see for yourself,
sir. I enter, Kashabe.
Hold the gun on him, sir. Do not let them move.
They will not move.
Jordan, it is the rude man who come to my house. What does this mean?
Since when does this big Turk work for you, Kashyapu?
Since the beginning of this, Jordan. It is not yet clear.
Yeah. For one thing, you're not with the Ministry of Antiquities at all.
But my effendi, did you not tell me that...
Sure, El Mamad, I told you. Looks like I sold you a phony bill of goods.
Most conveniently for me, Jordan. Now, allow no one to enter or leave this room until you hear from me.
I invite them to try, Kashyapu.
Turk stood menacingly with the gun as El Mamad drew Sharon to him and sat with bowed head. Kashyapu stepped to the alley door, opened it, and went out. I stood wondering how I'd let myself be suckered into a deal like this. Looked like we were in for a long wait, but I was wrong again. The shots had come from the alley. We all whirled, and that included the Turk with the gun. I grabbed the chance and slammed down on his arm. I dropped the gun, and I came up with it just that quick. I held it on him as I opened the door and glanced out to see Kashyapu sprawled face down in the alley, and the back of Barrios running far down as he turned into the street. I knew he'd heard the whole conversation from the window, and I knew where he was going. Tell Mama, can you hold the gun?
If it needs be, Effendi.
Take this one here and hold it on the Turk. Shoot if he moves.
That I will do also.
And Sharon?
Yes, Jordan.
Get to the phone there on my desk and call Captain Sam Sabaya, the Cairo police. Tell him to rush some men over here to pick up the Turk in Kashyapu. And tell him I said to hop out to your father's apiary the quickest way he can.
Most quickly, I will call the captain. Most quickly.
Right away, I was out and driving across Cairo fast, knowing that Barrios was doing the same. Seemed like every camel and donkey and jalopy in Egypt was on the streets to slow me down. Finally, I was out on the winding road leading south. Just at dusk, I pulled up the hill past El Mamad's house. I got out and ran down the hill toward the apiaries, and I saw that Barrios was already there. He had just lifted one of the hives and was picking up a small bowl from underneath. I kept right on going, weaving cautiously around the hives filled with bees already settling for the night. Mario saw me and started backing up, carefully at first.
Have a care, Jordan. No one will take the bowl from me.
I kept closing in, still weaving toward him.
No, I warn you. Keep back, Jordan. Do not try.
I'm getting close, too close for Barrios. I watched his hand go to his pocket. As it came out with a gun, I ducked. They missed, but the crack of the gun brought the bees swarming violently from the hives toward the sound. I kicked over a hive for good measure and was running. I made it away with only a couple of stings, and when I got where it was safe to look around, I saw Barrios scrambling away down the hill, slapping wildly at the bees that covered him like a thick moving blanket. Suddenly he stumbled and fell rolling. And that's when the bowl flew from his hand, struck a rock, shattered into a million pieces.
In just a moment, Rocky Jordan returns to conclude tonight's story. You know, folks, the best way to find out the real value of a cooking sauce is to ask experienced cooks who use it. You see, there's a mighty good reason why Del Monte tomato sauce has been a favorite with good cooks for a whole generation. Let Mrs. U.E. Smalley of Pasadena, California, tell us about it. She said,
"Why, I guess I've used hundreds of cans of Del Monte tomato sauce during the past 26 years. I wouldn't be without it. You like to use a product you know is dependable, and that is certainly true of Del Monte tomato sauce. Every can is nice and smooth. Nobody needs to tell me that Del Monte tomato sauce is made from ripe tomatoes and fine spices. Its flavor tells me that. Food that tastes good does you more good, I always say. And my tomato sauce recipes are family favorites. Del Monte's extra flavor makes any dish better."
Thank you, Mrs. Smalley. Yes, in tomato sauce, it's the flavor that counts. And the rich, spiced tomato flavor of Del Monte tomato sauce brings out all the best flavor of the food you cook with it. Del Monte tomato sauce is so low in cost, too, yet it does such big things for dishes like stew, spaghetti, and hash. Next time you go shopping, buy the original tomato sauce, Del Monte. Back now to Rocky Jordan for the conclusion of tonight's story.
Well, Sam Sabai and his men showed up a couple of minutes later. We grabbed some head nets and got down the hill to Barrios. By the time we'd managed to scrape all the bees off of him, he was unconscious. The puffy little man was in a bad way as we took him back into town into a hospital. From there, Sam and I hurried on to the tambourine. The police had already come and gone, taking the Turk and the body of Kasha Bey with them. But El Mahmoud and his daughter were still there, anxiously waiting. It didn't take long to tell them everything that had happened.
And so, one of the most valuable relics of Egypt is gone. For all this, there is nothing.
My father!
Quiet, Cheryl, my daughter. There is nothing to be said.
El Mahmoud, although certain of your actions since finding the bowl cannot be condoned, you can hardly be held to be blamed for its final destruction.
Ah, it is gone because of my own greed.
But please, my father...
Sharon, it is not well that you speak before the men.
There are so many who can be blamed. Is that not so, Jordan?
Sure, Sam. I neglected to make one little phone call. The Ministry of Antiquities about Kasha Bey. The trouble was, his story checked too well.
Needless to say, the Bey was not with the Ministry, but he knew much of their methods of operation. As for Varios...
That's pretty clear, Sam. El Mahmoud made a deal with Varios to sell the bowl, and very wisely changed his mind. But Varios wasn't to be stopped and started making big threats, trying to get Mahmoud to reveal where the bowl was hidden.
And somewhere, Kasha Bey stepped into the picture.
Yeah, he heard about the Doriat bowl and wanted it too. I figure he sent the Turk out to Mahmoud's house just for my benefit.
How so, George?
Well, once I knew that El Mahmoud was in real danger, it was a cinch I'd do everything possible to help. After Kasha Bey's pitch about being with the Ministry of Antiquities, all I had to do was talk Mahmoud into turning the bowl over to him. And I did.
Now that it is destroyed, what will they do?
Well, it is difficult to say. The loss of such a priceless article will not go unnoticed.
My father, listen to me.
Sharon,
now.
I told you
but
that...
But I must speak. The Diorite bowl is not lost.
Oh, well,
what is this you say?
I also have a confession to make. I knew where the bowl was hidden, and that my father was in danger. It was only for that reason that...
What are you saying, Sharon?
Only that I took the bowl from the hive, replacing it with a common crock from the kitchen.
Then what did you do with the Diorite bowl, Sharon?
In the Diorite bowl, I placed the honey and brought it to Jordan Bay only this morning.
Jordan?
Hold it, Sam. We'll find out.
Where are you going?
Right here behind the bar. I set it on a shelf in plain sight when she brought it this morning. Yeah, that's the one.
Oh, careful with it, Jordan.
Effendi, it is the one. It is indeed the one.
There can be little doubt. A remarkable find. A relic almost as ancient as Egypt itself.
Sharon, my child.
Did I do right, my father?
Oh, by your innocence and love, the grace of Allah has been with us this day.
Hey, Mama, you can rest assured the Ministry of Antiquities will pay you well.
You better take it out of here, Sam, before they catch me mixing drinks in it.
I fully intend to, Jordan. When you look on it again, it will be on display at the Museum of Egypt for all to see.
I got news for you, Sam. I'll be just as happy if I never see it again.
For the finest in tomato flavor, enjoy the whole family of Del Monte tomato products.
Del Monte ketchup and chili sauce, Del Monte tomato sauce and canned tomatoes, and Del Monte tomato juice.
Remember, buy wisely. Buy for flavor. Buy Del Monte. Del Monte, the brand you trust for flavor in so many good foods. Rocky Jordan, written by Larry Roman and Gomer Kuhl, stars Jack Moyles in the title role, with Jane Avello as Sam Sabaya, and is produced and directed by Cliff Howell, with original music composed and conducted by Richard Arant. Remember, you have a date next week at the Cafe Tambourine run by Rocky Jordan. Same time, same station. And the story is The DeMarco Affair. For real country corn patch flavor, buy Del Monte corn. Golden cream style or whole kernel. Both styles, both Del Monte. Both mighty fine. One thing more. Your Red Feather community chest organizations need your help. Give generously during this campaign. Remember, everybody benefits when everybody gives. Larry Thor speaking. Rocky Jordan is presented over CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Business over to you. Don't, Harry. Don't kill me. You can have everything you want.
I've got everything I want. Now.
And now, meet Dick Calmer as Boston Blackie. Enemy to those who make him an enemy. Friend to those who have no friends.
Order! Order in the court! You may proceed, Mr. Holloway.
Thank you, Your Honor.
To continue, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, in judging Harry Benson, as you will and must, I ask only that you keep in mind this fact, and you will be forced to free Harry Benson from this hideous charge. Police have established that Mrs. Benson died in the city. Died from a bullet in her heart. You will remember, the weapon was still in her hand when she was found in her apartment around noon on a Tuesday. That Tuesday, as on the Sunday and Monday before and the day following, according to the testimony of four reputable witnesses, Harry Benson was at Mountain Lodge, 330 miles from the scene of his wife's death.
If there's another such disturbance, I shall order this courtroom to be cleared.
Proceed, Mr. Holloway.
Thank you, Your Honor. To continue, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, Mrs. Benson had reason to take her own life. You have seen evidence in the form of letters written by the dead woman 2 days before her death that prove she was despondent over her mother's recent passing. On this evidence, I say that Mrs. Harry Benson killed herself and was not killed by her husband. Harry Benson had no reason to kill her, no desire to kill her. But most important of all, Harry Benson could not possibly have killed his wife because at the time of her death in the city, he was 330 miles away. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, you cannot convict an innocent man. I beg of you to weigh the facts and bring in a verdict of not guilty. For Harry Benson has committed no crime, and you cannot find it in your heart to find him guilty of something more.
Order! Order in the court! Have you, the jury, reached a verdict?
We have, Your Honor.
How do you find the defendant?
We find the defendant not guilty.
Jamil!
Inspector Faraday, there's a guy out here who insists I'm seeing you.
Tell him I'm busy, Rollins.
I told him you were busy, but he says he's going to see you anyhow. He's the late Myrna Benson's brother.
Well, tell him I couldn't see him if it was the early bird's sister.
Look, I won't be put off. I've got something to say, and I'm going to say
it. Inspector Faraday can't see you, Mr. Jellison.
He's seeing me now.
Now, come on, you
can't... Oh, never mind, Rollins. What is it, Jellison? I don't have much time.
I won't need much time.
Okay, Rollins. I can handle this.
Yes, sir.
All right, Jellison. What do you want to talk to me about?
You know very well what I want to talk to you about. The whole police department smells. I know that Harry Benson killed my sister. I know she didn't kill herself. I want something done about it.
Now, look, Jellison. I think that Harry Benson killed your sister. I feel she didn't kill herself. But there's nothing I can do about it.
You can send him to the chair for murder.
I tried that. The DA tried that. The courts tried that. But the jury said he wasn't guilty.
And that's your fault. If you had enough evidence against him, the jury would have convicted him.
We had all the evidence we could find. And that was plenty. But it didn't add up to proof.
Then find more evidence. You know he did it. Why can't you get more evidence and try him again?
We can find more evidence, maybe. But we can't bring him to trial again.
With more evidence, of course you can.
Oh, no, Jellison. Once a man is tried and found innocent, he can never be tried for the same crime again.
You mean he's free for good?
That's the law, Jellison. There's nothing I can do about it.
You mean there's nothing you will do?
There's nothing I can do.
Well, I can do something. In fact, I can do plenty.
Now, be careful, Jellison.
Careful? How careful have you been? Thanks to you, my sister's killer goes free. But he won't stay free. I'm going to make him pay for what he's done.
Now, don't be a fool.
Call me whatever you like. If the law won't punish Harry Benson, I'll take care of him myself.
Blackie, is that any way to treat a newspaper?
I'm sorry, Mary. I'll pick it up. But every time I read about it, I get sore all over again.
Reading about the Harry Benson case again?
Yes, and it's... Oh, it's practically driving me crazy. Everybody in town knows Benson killed his wife, and yet the court lets him go scot-free.
Yeah, I know. Can't anything be done about it?
Not a thing. If something could be done, Faraday in the DA's office would have done it. Come in.
You Boston, Blackie?
Yes?
I want to talk to you, and I want you to listen.
Now, wait a minute.
There isn't time to wait. I don't want the same slough-off from you I got from the police. Something can be done about it.
Something can be done about what?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm John Jellison, Myrna Benson's brother.
Oh. Miss Wesley, Mr. Jellison.
How do you do, Mr. Jellison?
I think I know what you want from me, Jellison, but there's nothing I can do.
Benson can't be tried again?
No, we can't. No matter what new evidence I might be able to uncover.
Why is that, Blackie?
For a very good reason, Mary. Our laws are made for the protection of the individual. The law says a man cannot be tried more than once for the same crime. More evidence will do absolutely no good.
But you could do something. You could make him confess.
So what? Even if he confessed, he couldn't be tried again. In the first place...
I thought you'd come running up here, Jellison.
Hello, Faraday.
Now don't let this guy worry you, Blackie. He's coming with me.
You mind your own business, Faraday.
And while you're minding your own business, Inspector, mind putting away that gun?
It may take a gun to handle this guy, Blackie. He was just in my office threatening to...
I know, threatening to kill Harry Benson for murdering your sister. And nobody would blame him if he did.
He killed my sister, and I won't let him get away with it.
I share your sentiment, Jellison.
You can share his sentiments, Blackie. But do anything about it, and I'll see to it that you also share his cell.
Hello?
Mr. Benson, this is Jones at the office.
Oh, yes, Jones. I was just about to call you. I won't be down today.
All right, sir, but there are several contracts Mrs. Benson was dickering for just before her death that came through today. Do you want to accept them?
Do they look all right?
Oh, yes, sir. In fact, they're most profitable.
Wire acceptance, and I'll be down tomorrow to sign them.
Thank you very much, Mr. Benson. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Luncheon is served, Mr. Benson.
Oh, thank you, Williams. I'll be right in.
Excuse me, sir.
Hmm?
I haven't had an opportunity to tell you before this, sir, but the servants are most happy.
Happy? About what?
That, well, sir, that you were not made to suffer for something you didn't do.
Oh, thank you, Williams.
We were so worried all during the trial.
There wasn't anything to worry about, William. The law protects an innocent man.
We are all so grateful that it does, sir.
I'll get it, Williams. Now, you may serve luncheon. I'll be right in.
Yes, sir. Right away.
Hello?
Hello, Mr. Benson. This is Jones at the office again.
Oh, yes, Jones.
Mr. Ward at the exchange just teletyped us that your Antico stock is rising, sir. So is the Delton and Whitry.
I'm doing all right, eh?
Excellently, sir. He advises buying more if you can.
Joe Ward, I leave that up to him. I don't have all the money in the world, but at the rate I'm going, I'll have it someday.
You're a very lucky man, Mr. Benson.
Lucky? I don't think so, Joan. Smart is the word. And you don't know how smart.
Blackie? How much longer are you going to stand there at the window?
I don't know.
Darling, you haven't said a word for 15 minutes. What's the matter?
Mary, I'm going to do it.
Do what?
Help that fellow Jellison.
Oh, you said yourself there was nothing that could be done.
There is something, though.
Something that'll bring him to trial again?
No, nothing will ever do that. But I can give everybody some satisfaction if I can prove beyond a doubt that Benson is either guilty or not guilty.
Oh, then there is a doubt.
Not in my mind, there isn't. But if I can dig for evidence, prove how Benson could be at Mountain Lodge and still be here in the city to kill his wife, maybe I can make Benson suffer.
But if you can't do that?
Maybe I can prove that Mrs. Benson did commit suicide. That would satisfy Jellison that Benson wasn't getting away with murder.
Oh, Blackie, why? Why, darling? What will you really accomplish?
Well, nothing, I guess, but I might as well try to help poor Jellison. I have nothing else to do. I'll get it. Hello?
Hello, Blackie. This is Faraday.
How's the inspecting business, Inspector?
No jokes, Blackie. You remember Jimmy Bolton?
Remember him? Every time I have a nightmare, I dream about him.
Well, he's out. Looking for you, Blackie.
He can't be. I gave you evidence that sent him to jail for life 3 years ago.
I know that. But 3 hours ago, he broke jail. And one of his jailmates said he busted out for just one reason.
Well, what am
to
I
get
supposed
you.
What am I supposed to do about it, Faraday? Call a cop?
Now, look, wise guy. Jimmy Bolton went to prison for killing one of his best friends. So he won't think anything of killing one of his worst enemies. You.
And now back to Boston Blackie. Harry Benson murders his wife, but he plans the murder so cleverly that when he is brought to trial, he is acquitted. And the law states that once a man is tried and acquitted, even evidence that later proves his guilt cannot be used against him. Blackie has decided to do what he can to help John Jellison, the dead woman's brother, when he hears from Faraday that Jimmy Bolton A killer Blackie once sent to prison has broken jail and is out to get his revenge. As we return to our story, Blackie and Mary are in Blackie's apartment, where Mary has just learned about Jimmy Bolton.
Blackie, you've got to do something.
I'm going to, Mary.
Well, what?
See if I can't either prove Mrs. Benson killed herself or find some way to make Harry Benson suffer for killing.
Darling, I'm not talking about the Benson murder case. I mean, what are you going to do about Jimmy Bolton? He's dangerous.
I know it, and he's a little too old to be reformed. Oh, forget it. Let me see that map of Mountain Lodge country again, will you?
All right, here you are, but please do something about Jimmy Bolton. Look, call Shorty and see if he knows where Bolton is.
If Shorty knows anything, he'll call me soon enough. Mary, look at this map. Here's Mountain Lodge, 330 miles from the city. Mrs. Benson was killed in her home on Tuesday at about noon. At that time, Benson was with four friends at Mountain Lodge.
Blackie, darling, you know it's useless. A man can't kill a person who's 300 miles away. And even if you proved he could, what good would it do you? He won't be tried again.
I know all that too well, but let's see if we can figure this thing out. It's a fact that Benson did kill his wife.
Is it a fact when it can't be proved?
I'll ignore that for a moment. Answer this. How did Benson kill his wife?
I'll ignore that.
I don't blame you.
All right, let's drop the whole matter anyway and worry about Jimmy Bolton.
We'll worry about Bolton later. Let's review the known facts of the Benson case.
All right. According to the evidence, Mrs. Benson was killed in her home on a Tuesday, somewhere around noon.
At that time, Benson was with friends at Mountain Lodge, 330 miles away.
You know, we've gone over this about 330 times, Doctor.
But maybe this time is it. Now, let's keep going.
All right. Benson was at Mountain Lodge for 2 days before his wife's death and for 1 day after. He came back to his house and found her dead.
And called the police.
Then the police arrested him for her murder, saying that he had a motive and it was his gun that killed her.
Which he had and which it was.
But, Doctor, Benson was with four other men at Mountain Lodge all day the day of the murder. He wasn't out of their sight for 1 minute.
Oh, he was, Mary, several times and for as much as an hour at a time.
So what? How could he have left Mountain Lodge, come to the city, killed his wife, and gone back there all inside and out? Now, that's a round trip of 660 miles.
I have it, Mary.
Whatever it is, it's impossible.
Oh, no, not this. The answer is Mrs. Benson wasn't killed in her home, but somewhere within a few minutes' drive of Mountain Lodge.
The police say she was killed in her home.
It looked as if she'd been. Benson planned his murder very cleverly. He sent for his wife to join him at Mountain Lodge on Tuesday. He met her at the train, took her out into the country, and then killed her.
And then brought her body back to the city?
Exactly. He killed her on Tuesday, somewhere near Mountain Lodge, put her body in his car, then brought her to the city Wednesday, put her body in the house, called the police. And you know the rest of the story.
There is one way he could have killed her and still not be away from his friends at the lodge for more than an hour.
The only way.
Well, all right, though. Now that you've figured out how he could have done it, how are you going to use it against him? He can't be brought to trial again.
No, but I can see to it that he doesn't profit by his wife's death.
Well, worry about that later, will you? First, do something about Jimmy Bolton. Blackie, who are you calling?
Susie, get me Charlie Kingston in Chicago, will you?
Of course, sir.
And Susie?
Yes?
If he isn't in Chicago, get him on the phone no matter where he is. I have to talk to him right away.
Hello?
Mr. Benson, this is Jones at the office.
Well, you sound unhappy, Jones. What's the matter? Contracts coming in too fast?
Mr. Benson, it's about contracts, all right, but they're not coming in. They're being canceled.
What?
We've had 11 definite cancellations in the last hour. Our steadiest customers are withdrawing all their orders.
What's the matter?
I don't know, sir.
Well, don't let them cancel.
Well, there's no way to hold them to their contracts, sir. They've got cancellation clauses. All their orders are being stopped quite legally.
Well, don't do anything, Jones. I'll be right down.
Yes, sir.
Williams!
What's the matter with my servants? I have five of them. I haven't seen one of them for 2 hours.
Williams!
You were calling me, Mr. Benson?
Yes. Tell Harry to get my car. I have to go down to the office.
I'm sorry, sir, but the chauffeur is no longer with us.
Huh? All right, then tell Jack to bring my car around.
Jack is no longer here either, Mr. Benson.
Okay, then you get it.
I'm sorry, sir, but I'm leaving too. In fact, sir, all the servants have gone.
You've all left me. Why?
Shall we say, to keep more profitable employment, sir?
That's not the reason, and you know it. Williams, you can't leave me. You...
I'm very sorry, sir, but goodbye, sir.
Williams, you can't hold... Hello?
Mr. Benson, this is Jones at the office again.
Now, what is it, Jones?
Mr. Ward of the Exchange just phoned. Stocks are dropping, sir.
I thought Ward said they were rising.
Well, they were, sir. Right after you bought, they kept on rising. But about an hour ago, everybody began selling. Your stocks are down 7 points and still dropping.
What does Ward think I ought to do?
Buy, Mr. Benson, to check the drop.
But I can't. I haven't the money.
Well, then you'll have to sell, sir.
But I can't sell. Those stocks are all I have.
At the rate they're dropping, sir, in another 2 hours, they won't be worth having.
I won't take you up to your apartment, Mary. I want to run down and see Faraday a moment.
Well, all right, but do be careful, will you, Blackie? I'm worried about Jimmy Bolton.
Well, what's there to be careful about? Bolton will never get near me. And our murderous friend Benson is probably so bewildered by now he doesn't know he's alive.
Blackie, get inside the door, quick!
What's the matter?
That big car coming down the street. Look out, dog!
Blackie's not here.
Inspector, Jimmy Bolton just shot
a flash. Where's Blackie? Where'd they take him?
He wasn't hit.
Oh. Well, that's too bad.
Inspector, listen, I'm not Blackie. You don't have to pretend to me. Blackie's in danger, and I know you're worried.
I'm plenty worried, Miss Wesley. Bolton's a cold-blooded murderer. He's out to shoot Blackie or anybody who gets in his way.
Well, can't you do something?
Well, I've got half the force looking for Bolton now. Where is Blackie?
In his apartment. He's promised to stay there until Bolton's caught, but he won't. I know he won't.
Okay, look. You call Blackie every few minutes if you have to, Miss Wesley. Anything to keep him there. I'll get Bolton.
How?
I don't know how, but I'll get him, Miss Wesley. I'll get him.
I'm sure you will, Inspector, but please get him before he gets Blackie.
Yes, Mary, I'm right here, and I'm going to stay here.
You stay right there in your apartment now, and not even go out into the hall?
Look, what is this? There's only one person after me, not a whole army.
Oh, darling, I don't care. Now, you stay right where you are.
I promised I would, didn't I? Now, there's someone at the door, Mary.
Oh.
Probably the boy with some magazines I ordered. I'll call you back.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Come in. Well, this is a surprise. Unless newspaper photographs make you look like someone else, you're Harry Benson.
I'm Harry Benson.
You're Harry Benson, but there's not much all right about you.
Blackie, I just found out something about you I don't like.
Oh, you've come here to flatter me, have you? Is there just one thing you don't like about me?
Two things. You and your friend, Charlie Kingston.
Oh, I see. You've heard from Charlie.
Indirectly.
Great guy, Charlie Kingston. He's the only man I know who can do things indirectly and get direct results.
I'm not here to talk about the results. I'm here to talk about you. Because you put Kingston up to what he did. I checked and all traces back to you. What are you trying to do to me, Blackie?
Trying, Benson?
You've ruined me.
I don't think you can prove that any more than the police could prove you murdered your wife.
The law says I'm an innocent man, yet you choose to persecute me in your own way. Blackie, what do you expect to gain?
This.
What's this getting you?
It's not getting me, Benson. It's getting you.
Hey, you think I'll crack? You think you can hound me with troubles, ruin my business, turn my employees and then my friends against me? Make me feel alone, suspected, and hunted? You want me to be afraid? You want me to go out of my mind?
Not especially.
Well, I won't. Nothing you can do to me can make any difference.
It's making a difference already, isn't it? You came in here rather calmly. Now you're getting excited.
All right. All right, maybe I do have something to be excited about, but so have you. You leave me alone, do you hear? And I'll get even with you.
Better start now, then. You have a lot of catching up to do.
I'll catch up.
Don't expect me to wait for you. I have other things in mind to do to you before I'm finished. And maybe one of them is to beat you to a pulp.
You so much as I beat Blackie,
I know. You'll pull a gun. Put it away, then. You don't commit murders that can be traced to you.
I'm not going to commit it. Don't worry.
Do I look like the worrying type?
You're the type I hate. Look, you can't gain anything by what you've done to me or what you plan on doing. Even if I admit I killed my wife, nobody can do anything to me.
You don't have to admit you killed her, Benson. I know you did.
You don't know any such thing.
And I know how you killed her.
She killed herself.
Yes, in a way she did, by coming up to Mountain Lodge to meet you.
She didn't come to the lodge.
No. She didn't get there. You met her. Strange. Took her to a secluded spot, shot her, then brought her body to the city the next day.
You don't know that.
What's the matter, Benson? Do you think your plan was so clever it couldn't possibly occur to someone else?
Stay where you are, Blackie.
Leaving so soon? I was just beginning to enjoy this.
Yes, I'm leaving.
Better put that gun away before you walk out in the hall, my friend. You might frighten someone.
Oh, no. I'll keep my gun ready until I'm out of here. Now, you try to stop me.
Steady as Robin.
Nice shooting, Joe. Let's know what hit him.
Hey, Rollins, what's the idea? You're supposed to be a cop.
Hello, Blackie. Faraday's orders were to shoot the guy on sight, that's what.
Well, you've certainly done a job on him. He's dead.
Yeah, we don't miss.
I think you guys have made a rather serious mistake, but let me answer the phone.
Yeah, turn him over, Joe. Let's have a look at
him. Hello?
Blackie, this is Faraday.
Hello, Inspector. Now, say, a couple of your boys...
Your worries about Jimmy Bolton are over. We just picked him up on the west side. So, relax.
Thanks, Faraday. You're a good boy, but...
Do me a favor, will you, Blackie? I've got your building full of cops with orders to shoot Bolton on sight. Now, will you go out in the hall and tell those two men of mine to round up the others and come on home?
Sure, Faraday. But do you mind doing me a favor?
What?
Reserve a slab in the morgue. Your men just shot and killed Harry Benson. It was an accident, Faraday, and accidents will happen. But this time, the accident happened to the right guy.
Blackie, I'd have died if I thought Mr. Benson was going to come up here.
Well, he came up here, and he died.
But what made him do it?
Die or come up here?
Come up here.
Well, you remember when I called Charlie Kingston?
Yes.
Charlie and his friends ruined Benson's business and ran his stocks into the ground in one day.
How did they do that?
Kingston put pressure on Benson's client and told all his friends who had the same stocks Benson held to sell as fast as they could.
I see.
And on top of that, Kingston hired all Benson's servants for a week's party with a $500 bonus if they'd leave saying they weren't coming back.
Oh, I see why Benson came to see you then. He found out Charlie was causing him all that trouble and he knew you'd put him up to it.
That's right. And I'm very glad that when the cops shot at him, they didn't miss him because I guarantee that now that he's dead, nobody else will miss him either.
Graham signing off.
Has been
production.